Well, this is TCI number 5. Everybody in the right room? I will pray and get us started and turn it over to Nate and Eddie. Father in heaven, we just give you praise and thank you for this wonderful day and the wonderful service this morning. And Lord, lives being touched and transformed. Lord, we thank you for life being given, that we've been given life and we give life. So we thank you so much for all that's happening and the work that's happening in people's lives. It will continue, Father. Thank you for this time tonight. We just thank you for true fellowship, true sharing. Minister to each person here, Father. We just thank you for over-the-top night. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. What a journey we've been on together. Have you enjoyed the ride? It's been exciting. Tonight we got a treat. Eddie will be joining me on stage tonight. We're going to kind of have a conversation and let you in on it, right?
That's right.
Here you go. Hook you up. There you are, my friend.
I feel like I'm about to fall off. So we've been on this journey which about trust, and it's really different from last year. And so Nate and I and pastors have been meeting about this, and so we come into this event with a plan, but we've had a change because we're looking to what is the next level, next step for all of us individually. We're looking at the next level, next step for all of us as a group. But really, for us to understand this trust, I think this week we're going to kind of look back at something. We're going to kind of look back at what trust is and what trust is based on. And it has to be, for all of us, has to be based on God's love for us. It's so hard to trust somebody when you are unsure of how much they love you. But when you understand how much God loves you and what He's done for you and what He's doing for you, it's so much easier to trust Him. And as we're looking to Him for our next step, next level, whatever it might be, however you're saying it, you have to understand that God's got your greatest good at heart. He wants the best outcome for you, and it's not determined on anything that you do. It's just because He loves you. Ephesians tells us that it's great love that God loves us while we were dead in trespasses and sin. But that great love, I looked it up, I mean, that great word great is like mega, huge, big. But then the word, the love there is this undefeatable benevolence. And it's an unconquerable goodwill. Where He desires the highest and best for each and every one of us. And it's not based on us. It's all based on His love for us. It's a decision of His will. He decided He would love us. So before we go on in trust, we have to have that foundation of His love. Because that's the one thing we question sometimes. Because on the earth, when we're dealing with our Heavenly Father, a lot of times we look at our Heavenly Father and we look at Him the same way we might look at our earthly father or our earthly mother. And there may have been some performance issue that we felt like love was tied to. Or there may have been something like that, and you didn't fulfill it, or you didn't always walk it out. But with God, that's not the way. I mean, sometimes our parents may have been critical of us, but with God, that's not the way. He's not condemning. He's not critical.
Amen.
He's not any of those things. He just absolutely, over the top, is in love with you. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to look at His love. And before you leave tonight, we want you to have an experience with His love for you. That's where we're going tonight.
Right? That's right. I mean, love is a funny word, isn't it? I mean, love is one of these words that, I mean, we use it to describe our feelings, our emotions about a lot of stuff, don't we? I mean, in the same sentence, I can say I love my wife and I can say I love McDonald's French fries. I mean, does it mean, and Jesus was serving French fries, apparently. maybe McDonald's French fries. But does it have the same connotation for each item? And I say item loosely. does it. I mean, think about this. Think about, just in your head, think about five things that you love. Just humor me for a second. Maybe you're thinking about your family. Maybe you're thinking about your car. Maybe you're thinking about Jesus. Those who are spiritual among us. Maybe you're thinking about Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know. Who likes Krispy Kreme donuts? Who said, "I love Krispy Kreme donuts"? All right, we got a bunch of people. Now, if we take the true connotation of the word love, if we define love in these terms, that the true definition of love is determined by what we're willing to search for and what we're willing to sacrifice for. So searching and sacrifice. Something I'm going to seek after and something I'm going to sacrifice for. If we apply that to our love for Krispy Kreme donuts, let's say we got a hankering for a Krispy Kreme donut, and we go down to the hot now, where the hot now sign is always on, and we say, okay, I want some Krispy Kreme donuts. We've gone on a search for Krispy Kreme donuts, something that we're willing to search for, okay? But say we get into Krispy Kreme, and Krispy Kreme is in such high demand that now instead of $8 for a dozen, it's $500 for a dozen of donuts. Do you still love Krispy Kreme donuts? No. Not a chance. Not at all. Would you pay $500 for a box of Krispy Kreme? Sad, sad person. Just kidding. No, I mean, your love is relative, right? I mean, when you put it in those terms, think about that in terms of your family, though. Is there any cost that you would not pay? Is there any sacrifice that you wouldn't make for your family? And think about that in terms of God's love for us. He doesn't love us like you love Krispy Kreme donuts. He doesn't love us like I love McDonald's French fries. He loves us like a father loves his children. And that can be skewed in terms of when we compare our relationship with our earthly mother or father with our heavenly father. That can be skewed because we apply the same parameters that we have to our earthly mother or father to our relationship with God. And that you can't compare the two. And that's where people get messed up. But think about this. To what lengths did God search for you? The scriptures say that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, right? And what did he sacrifice in order to show his love? He sacrificed the very best. He gave us the very best. And to realize that you are the object of his love. Say that. I am the object of his love. Some of you, you're like, I don't know if I believe that. I mean, you say it because I made you. Hopefully not just because I made you, but you say it. But do you really believe it? I think there are several obstacles, and you kind of alluded to a couple of them, Eddie. Several obstacles that we face when it comes to really believing that God loves us. And, you know, me being the admiral of alliteration, they're going to start with letter P tonight. Okay? So the first is your past. That's the obstacle that we face when it comes to believing God loves us. Our past. Anybody have a past? Like a life that you live like B.C. before Christ? You know, it's not B.C.E. before the common era. It's before Christ, all right? Do you have a life that you live before that? And you think about how could God love me after all the things that I did? How could God love me? I mean, doesn't he know where I've come from? Doesn't he know my past mistakes? I mean, some of us did some things that we weren't too proud of, right? I don't want to dwell on those things, but that's a hindrance for many of us when it comes to believing God loves us, isn't it? It's something that we have to get past. We have to get past our past.
Any thoughts on that? Because what happens there is that past will creep in with thoughts that the enemy will bring. He'll remind you of your past, remind you of your failures, remind you of stuff. And that's all meant to create doubt in God's love for you. See, that's why you have to understand that while you were dead in trespasses and sin, He sent Jesus. He loved you so much, the only thing that was going to get you back in his family was Jesus. And he gave Jesus to get you. That's how much the Father loves you. And when what happens to us is when we're believing God for something or we're trusting God in this circumstance for stuff, a doubt comes in based on our past, based on something the enemy brings up to remind us of where we didn't make it or where we've fallen short or something about us. And that's to cast doubt on how much He loves us. And it happens to every one of us. So what we have to do is we have to cast down that doubt. Big Al said in our circle the other night, he says, you have to think about what you're thinking about.
Mm. Yep.
And so when you have those doubts come in about your past, something about your past, past sin or past life or whatever, think about that, what you're thinking about, because that doesn't matter to God. God loves you.
That's
absolutely
right.
Positively loves you. And that, to Him, does not matter because He took care of that with Jesus.
That's right. And what do you say? While we were yet sinners?
Wow.
Christ died for us?
That's right.
Like even in the midst of our past, Christ died for us? And isn't that the expression of God's love, that He sent Jesus? So what God is saying is, your past, it doesn't matter when it comes to my love for you. Your past is not greater than my love for you. Everybody say that.
My past
is not greater than God's love for me. The number two, P, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Performance. This is the number two obstacle that when it comes to believing and really knowing and experiencing God's love for us is our performance. This thing we have to get over, because for much of our lives, we're taught that performance equals approval. Okay, like if we do good, we'll gain approval. If we do bad, then we're going to have negative thoughts or feelings towards us. We're going to be disciplined or even punished, depending on how that goes in your household. Maybe it's a timeout. Maybe it's a whooping. I got whoopings when I was a kid. One time I got smacked in the face by my mama. I deserved it. Thank God He doesn't smack me in the face when I fail.
That's right.
Amen. Thank God He doesn't smack me in the face when I backtalk Him, like I did my mom that time. But not only just thinking about our poor performance, our failures, but thinking about our good performance, our own self-righteousness. And we think, well, God's going to love us more because, well, I read my Bible today. We can get on this religious treadmill where we're seeking after God's love for us based on what we do and how we perform, you know, and that lends itself to the comparison trap.
Right.
Where we think, well, you know, I surely read my Bible more than Paul did this week, and so God loves me more, you know, and so we begin to play games like that, and that it's not, God's love isn't based on our performance.
So it's not based on our performance at all, good or bad, whether we did good this week or whether we didn't. Now that's a challenge to our thinking, because when we were growing up as a child in most every household in America, you were gauged or graded by your performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that tied into an approval. If your parents approved you, if your teachers approved you, or if your coach approved you, or whoever it was. That's not how God is. He's not that way. Again, it's not based on you. Now, He's seeking your highest good. He's
right.
Seeking your greatest outcome. He's got a plan for you that's beyond what you've ever thought of before. But He sees it in you, and that's how He sees you. And it's got nothing to do with your performance. It's got all to do with how much He loves you.
That's right. And so, let's move past our past. Let's get over our performance. And let's move on to believing and knowing and fully experiencing and relying on God's love for us. And for many of us, it's going to take some brainwashing, because we've been taught to operate in this way in so many of our relationships, haven't we? Like, this is kind of the way the world works. I mean, if I want somebody to love me, I have to do these certain amount of things. And so I ascribe that to my relationship with God. If I want God to love me, then I must behave a certain way. But it doesn't work that way with God. He's on a whole nother level, isn't He? And so we have to see him as such, and we have to turn off all of those negative thoughts that the enemy would try to bring us, and we have to just reflect on, again, the true definition of love. What did he sacrifice for me? What did he sacrifice for me? And reflect on Jesus. God's love for me isn't based on me. Thank God, indeed. God's love for me is based on Jesus. Thank God.
Isn't that something? His love for us is so great that he gave his son Jesus for us. I mean, it is almost, we can't comprehend this. It's too big that he loved us that much, and that our past doesn't matter, and that our performance doesn't matter, and anything that we're doing right now, you know, it's not going to hinder or stop his love for us. I mean, this is how we can trust someone like this. I mean, trust is something that I'm going to rely on, I'm going to depend on, I'm going to have confidence in. See, any time up until this moment, we could have been critical of ourselves or think God's critical of us, or we judge ourselves based on our past or what our performance is, and we think that, well, he's just not going to because of blank, and we all have a different blank, but he is someone, God is, the Father, we can count on. We can depend on. We can trust in him. So if he's got our highest and best good, and our next step, he knows what it is, and he wants to get it to us, how much easier it is to receive from someone who absolutely loves us that much.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely loves us. So, and you think about love, because love's going to bring you to a point where you want to spend time. That's what you do when something you love. We talk about donuts, loving donuts. I mean, some of us love donuts more than others, can you tell, because we spend time with them. You know, and we take what we work for, our resources, to get them.
Right.
I mean, but you'll see then, how about our children? How about our children? Do we spend time with them? And not only do we spend time with them, do we make time for them? And then do we get quiet and listen to them? I mean, this is what you do when you love somebody. You spend time, you listen, you make a way for them. All those things lead in to someone you can trust, which is God the Father, and what we do with him. Spend time with him, listen to him, wait on him. See, that's part of this love that we're looking for.
Yeah. Yesterday I was outside with Karis, and I was trying to teach her how to ride the bicycle. Any parents ever taught your kids how to ride a bike? Grueling experience. And she's got this bike. Thankfully, thank God, somebody from the church who will remain nameless has given us a bicycle for Karis. And this bicycle doesn't have training wheels. And Karis has only had like a tricycle before. So she's got this bike without training wheels. And so I'm holding the bicycle as she's trying to pedal it. And she really hasn't had a lot of experience with bicycles. She's no BMX racer or anything by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm walking with her with the bicycle, and she's wobbly, and she's afraid. Like, she's terrified. She thinks she's going to fall, and she doesn't have her helmet on because her head's gotten too big for the helmet that she has now. And so I'm like, we're not going to wear that helmet. You look ridiculous. So put the helmet down. We're going this way. And I said, I've got you. I've got you. And we're going along, and I say, Karis, do you trust me? She goes, no! I have to admit, I was a little less than trustworthy in that instance. wobbly myself yesterday. And thank God I'm better. So, but I'm walking along with her, and she doesn't want to participate. And she's afraid, she's terrified. And I say, do you trust me? No, I don't trust you. And so I stopped for a second. I said, Karis, you know I love you, right? And I use this as a teaching moment. Say, Karis, you know I love you, right? Yeah, I know you. I know you love me. You believe Daddy wouldn't let anything bad happen to you, right? And she goes, yeah. I said, well, okay, let's get back on this thing. You can trust me. You can trust me. I won't let you fall. So we get back on the bike. You know this, where this is going, right? We get back on the bike. and we're going. I never let go of her, but she loses her balance, and then she puts her foot down, but she just like goes like, I ain't got no spine on me, you know, like completely, like goes limp. So I got to try to get the bike and her at the same time when we both kind of fall on the ground. And I look ridiculous. Teaching moment flew right out the window. But I tried to relay that to, I mean, if you knew that I love you, if you know that I love you, then you can trust me with your safety. You can trust me to not let you fall. And the thing is, I mean, God's much stronger than I am. God's a much greater father than I could ever be. And so while I don't have the ability maybe all the time to pick up and carry my daughter, God has all the ability in the world and heaven and in the universe to carry you and to lift you up when you fall. And he's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our trust because of his great love for us. The third obstacle we need to overcome when it comes to believing and receiving and fully experiencing God's love for us is the present. The present. Because a lot of times we think, well, based on my present circumstances, well, I don't have this, or I'm going through hell, or I'm experiencing pain in my body, and you think, well, how could a loving God allow this? If God loves me, why am I going through this present situation? And we have to understand, and Jeremy's message right on time this morning, that we have an adversary, that there is an enemy, and God is not in control. But God loves us. God loves us despite what we're going through presently. And he wants to take us through that and lead us to victory on the other side. Amen. And because of his love, we'll always experience victory. I want to read a scripture in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. In the Amplified. Before we get into this, let me tell you something about John. John wrote one of the Gospels, and like the fourth Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, named after him. And John, how did John refer to himself, Eddie?
The beloved disciple that Jesus loved.
The disciple that Jesus loved. Well, think about this. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written somewhere between AD 55 and AD 65. John was written in AD 90, okay? So he had a number of years. It was likely that he could have read what Matthew, Mark, and Luke had written about him and wanted to change the perspective.
Right.
But you've got to think about John. I think Peter is the one who always gets the bad rap. And Peter and John were really, they were in the same boat, like sometimes literally because they're both fishermen. But they were really in the same boat. John had just as many mistakes as Peter did. John, one point, John and James were in this city, the Samaritan village. I think this is the Luke 9, Luke 10, somewhere around there. And they weren't receptive of the message. And so he gets the other disciples. He said, hey guys, let's call down fire on them. Like he thinks, this is the great plan. Let's kill them all. They don't receive the message. Let's kill them all. Okay? It's not, John, that's not very loving. And how could Jesus love someone like that? How could Jesus love someone like that? And we think about, you know, John and the other disciples. I mean, John and James, before Jesus goes to the cross, they were like, hey man, when you get up there, save us a seat, like right beside you. We want to be your right hand guys. Okay? Like me here, him there. We're brothers. We're going to stick together. And I mean, like this whole bragging about himself, self-righteousness, and then they're arguing among themselves who's the greatest. I mean, Peter gets the bad rap, but John was just as bad of a dude,
right,
you know, when it came to his own behavior. But John, he kind of flipped the script and he said, well, Jesus loved me. And he described himself as the one whom Jesus loved. And it wasn't about him. It wasn't about John. He wasn't bragging about, well, I'm the guy who Jesus loved. We think about that. Well, you know, he's trying to make a name for himself. But no. He was bragging about Jesus
and his love.
Because he said, if Jesus can love me through that, Jesus can love me through my performance. Jesus can love me even past my past. And Jesus can love me despite my present circumstance. I'm the one whom Jesus loved. So he understood. If there was anybody in the New Testament who understood about God's love, it's John. So let's read this in light of that. Verse 16 and 1 John 4 in the Amplified. And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of by observation and by experience. This is great. And believe, adhere to, put faith in and rely on, or trust. Everybody say trust.
Trust.
The love God cherishes for us. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God. And God dwells and continues in him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment, and so he who is afraid has not reached the full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. What a great passage.
So we can put our trust in his love.
Yes.
We can trust his love for us. And in that love, there is no fear of punishment for us.
Right.
There's no condemnation. There's not a critical voice that we hear in our... That's not God. Or all that self-talking that we do to ourselves that brings us down. That's not God the Father. God is love. And he loves you. And he loves me. And he loves us. And so in the midst of John's circumstances, in the midst of John's all John stuff, John began to understand that God the Father, through Jesus, loved him. And you and I need to do the same thing. Well, we understand and we believe in that love and we trust in that love that he has for us. Because that love will bring us through every single thing. We heard this morning about the adversaries who's out there. Now, God didn't allow us to get in that situation. It's just that he's out there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We live in a fallen world.
That's
he's
right.
out there. However, in the midst of that, God has a plan to bring you out and bring you out greater and with more victory and with a bigger and better testimony and defeat him and bloody his nose on the way out.
That's right.
That's the plan that God's got. To take everything that Satan sins against you and brings against you, to use that as a testimony to take more people out of his kingdom and put them in the kingdom of God. That love we can depend on, count on, and trust in.
That's right. And, you know, John talked about a couple of things in there. And Paul talked about it in Ephesians. You're going to read that in a moment. He talked about knowing and experiencing God's love. Knowing by observation, knowing by experience the love of God. It's one thing for us to talk about God's love and for you to know it kind of in your head. But it's another thing altogether that we experience God's love in its fullness. And, you know, we can never like teach that to you. We can never say, okay, here, have some of God's love. We can't pour it into you. You have to experience that for yourself. And so what we want to do is take a moment in our response time, give you a chance to respond to the message, and I'll pray, and you guys who are going to sing, come on up. We're going to lead you in a short time of worship as we sing How He Loves, as we reflect on God's love for us, and allow God himself, the Father of love, to pour his love into your heart, into your spirit. And so let's pray for just a moment, and then we'll all stand to our feet and worship. God, we are grateful for your love. Grateful that we can not only know, but we can experience your love for us. We can believe in your love for us, regardless of our past, regardless of our performance, regardless of what we're presently experiencing. We can experience your love based on the price that you were willing to pay for us, the sacrifice you were willing to make for us, the lengths to which you were willing to go to search after us. So, Father, we thank you, and we're grateful for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand to your feet, everybody, and we'll... worship for a few moments.
Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and glory. All of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions, gripped by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are. And reach Your afflictions are for me. Oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. And He is our prize, drawn by redemption, by the grace in His eyes. If His grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. Heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. Heart beats rapidly inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loved us. Oh, how He loved us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Oh, how You love us. How You love us. How You love. And oh, how You loves us so. And oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. Sing, oh, oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so. Sing how He loves us. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. He loves. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Oh, how He loves.
I think you're believing, starting to rise up a little bit more on the inside. You're starting to believe it a little more as you say, just as John said, I'm the one Jesus loves. I'm the one Jesus loves. I'm the beloved. I am the beloved. Are you starting to believe it a little more? Say, I am the beloved. I am the beloved. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. It doesn't matter what I've done. It doesn't matter where I've been. It doesn't matter where I'm going. He loves me. 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 I am the one Jesus loves. Not because of me, not because of what I do, but because of who He is. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. I know and I believe and I experience your great love for me, God. Oh, your love. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. He loves us. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. Yes, He loves me. He loves me. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing, not height nor depth, not angel nor demon, nothing I experience in this world could ever separate us from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your love. Would you do me a favor and just wrap your arms around yourself? Just give yourself a great big hug and imagine that it's the loving arms of the Father embracing you. Oh, He loves me. Ha. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, God. He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves. Let's sing that once more. He loves me. He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves me. Oh, how He loves. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. An unconditional love. Not based on anything I've done or anything I'm going to do. It's unconditional. 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 Father, may we experience your love more and more. Tonight, may we experience your love in our trust teams. May we experience your love through the encouragement of our friends and our crazy faith believers that we've surrounded ourselves with. Thank you for the encouragement of your Spirit tonight, growing in us a revelation of your love. You couldn't love us any more than you already do. But we could know a little more how much you love us. And we could experience a little more how much you love us. So may we grow in our experience and our knowledge of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.